Thank you for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in seven different locations. We hope that today's message encourages and empowers you on your spiritual journey and helps you grow deeper in your relationship with God. To learn more about Our Savior's Church and how you can get involved, you can visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
We're in a series called Come to the Table. This is week two of this series. And this last week, as I began to pray and think about that thought, come to the table, just what happens when you are sitting at a table with Jesus? When you're in proximity with the person that literally raises dead things back to life. And I was faced with this undeniable truth that proximity with Jesus always produces change. Now, I'm grateful that it doesn't require you to change and then come to Jesus. That's religion. The message of the gospel is not get cleaned up and then come to Jesus. The message of the gospel is you go to Jesus and he'll clean you up. I was just thinking about that. Just proximity with Jesus always produces change. Let me present this thought to you this morning. If nothing has changed in you, then you might have heard about a person named Jesus, but certainly you've not had an encounter with Jesus. Because when you say yes to him, everything begins to change. I believe this is what we see in the story we're reading this morning. Mark 1, 19 through 20, it reads like this. It says, and going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending their nets. And say that word with me, immediately. Oh, come on, we can do better than that. Immediately. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat. If you're taking notes this morning, I want to talk to you from this topic, the challenge of change. Thank you. There's something I read recently in a book by a guy named Henry Cloud, and it's one of my favorite books. If you've been coming here for a while, you might have heard me mention this book. I read it every year. It's called Necessary Endings. And in the book, he makes this statement. It's simple, but it's profound. He says, entrances into new seasons must first be preceded by exits out of old ones. In other words, you can't step into something new until you first step out of something old. I remember when I first gave my life to Jesus, 25 years old, and I remember finding myself in such an interesting season. For the first time in my life, I was actually pursuing a personal relationship. This wasn't religion. I wasn't showing up to church just to check a box. I was actually in love with this man named Jesus, pursuing a relationship with him. While at the same time, in a very toxic dating relationship that I knew wasn't right. I was waking up every day and reading the word and putting on worship, and God was speaking to me, but at night I was doing things that I was ashamed of. I was saved enough to go to heaven, but not saved enough to stop going downtown. Yeah, I found myself right in the middle of this process called change. The theological word to describe what I'm talking to you about is called sanctification, which just means becoming more and more like Jesus. If you don't know this morning, everyone here, we're all on a journey of becoming more and more like Jesus. Whether you've been saved for 5 hours, 5 months, or 5 years, we're all on this journey together of becoming more like him. I love what Billy Graham says about this. He says, being a Christian is more than just an instantaneous conversion. It is a daily process of becoming more and more like Christ. Can I tell you, this is why reading your Bible is so important? John 1:14 says that Jesus was the Word made flesh. So when Jesus was here walking on earth, as he was walking, he was every prophecy fulfilled. Every word ever spoken, Genesis to Revelations, being manifested in a man. And if Jesus, the person we're all becoming more like, was the Word made flesh, then that means the more I know this, the more I know him. I remember growing up, and I would ask my dad questions, you know, those that have kids, you know. My son asked me 2 days ago, we were watching this on Netflix, he asked if Jesus was on Netflix. I just like, you know, you just kid, you're just asking questions. I remember asking my dad this question about 7 or 8. I said, Dad, I want Jesus to speak to me. He said, well, then read your Bible. I said, yeah, but I want to hear him speak out loud. He said, then read it out loud. Yeah. That's the last question I ever asked him. At 25 years old, as I begin to read the Word, maybe you're here and you're struggling with reading your Bible, and just give me some practical advice. I encourage you to start in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It all covers the life of Jesus. If you get Jesus right, everything else flows out of that. And I was reading the Gospels, and I quickly noticed the theme. Every time Jesus showed up anywhere, everything changed. Jesus would walk into a city, and a blind person would cry out, Jesus, Son of David, and boom, he'd cause the blind eyes to open. Jesus would walk into cities, and deaf ears would open. The lame would begin to walk. Jesus would attend a funeral, as an attendee, and raise the dead person back to life. Talk about change. Could you imagine being at a funeral for a loved one, and some guy walks in the back, and your Uncle Tommy pops out of the coffin? How many of y'all know that's called change? Jesus was, still is, by the way, a change agent. I think Christianity at its core is a call to radical life change and transformation. Can I present to you a thought this morning at the 11 o'clock? If Jesus wanted you to stay the way that you were, maybe he would have left you that way. When you say yes to Jesus, everything begins to change. I was recently, about a year ago, I was working out at Red's, and yes, I work out. I'm not going for bulk. I'm going for skinny and slender. Don't judge me. I was working out at Red's, and I ran into a guy I had not seen in 10 years. Remember, I got saved at 25, so I had a season of just kind of living life my own way, and man, I'd not seen this guy since I was 20. This is my old partner. This was my old running buddy. It'd been a while, and he recognized me, and I recognized him, and we just start catching up. And 10 minutes into the conversation, he goes, "You're really different." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, you're just not the Joseph I remember." And for the next 45 minutes, I begin to tell him about this person named Jesus. And how him and I used to use substances, but now I have a Savior. And I used to have to look for peace in a relationship, but now I know the Prince of Peace. And on a Tuesday afternoon at 2 p.m. at Red Laurel's gym, this 32-year-old man raised his hands and gave his life to Jesus. You see, when you have the resurrected Savior living inside of you, there should be something tangibly different about you. You should walk different. You should talk different. Matthew 5:13 calls it being the salt of the earth. You see, hear me this morning. We live in a very broken, dark world looking for an answer. We have the ace card in every situation. We have the answer to every situation. His name is Jesus. When you say yes to him, everything begins to change. I believe this is what we see in the story we're reading. The story says that, going on a little further, he being Jesus, saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending their nets, and say that word with me. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat. So Jesus is walking on the shore in the story that we're reading, and he looks out in the water, and he sees these two fishermen, and he calls them. And the call is really to leave everything behind. And in one moment, these fishermen who are in a boat doing what they've done every day for years. Just put yourself in the story. If you're a real estate agent, this is you in your office, Jesus walking out and saying, leave everything, leave your family, leave your career, leave everything you've ever known and follow me. Now, I don't know how many of you are like me, but if you invite me to do anything or go anywhere, I have a lot of questions. I just like to ask questions. I was speaking at a young adult conference 2 days ago on Friday, and I was reminded, I was looking at these 18-year-olds, like when I was like 18, if you just like pulled up outside of my house on a Friday, like I'm hopping in the car, like I'll go anywhere. We could go on a drug deal, we could like get arrested, like I'm down. You know, then you get older, like in my 30s, I'm married, I have children, like I need to know where we're going. I need to know like if I can drive separate, because if there's weird people there, that's my escape route. Don't lie, you faked a phone call. And as I'm reading this story, I can't help but think these fishermen had questions. Where are we going? Like, when will we be back home? How about this one? Who are you? I need some reason here. I need an explanation here. Fundamentally, I need to understand your call before I really decide to follow it. And friends, if I've learned anything on this journey of being a Jesus follower, it's this, that you don't always have to understand God completely in order to obey his voice quickly. Sometimes God will speak something to you, whether it's a business thing or pursuing a career thing, and you don't quite see it, and the money doesn't quite make sense, so you don't do it. Let me tell you something, hear my heart. It doesn't matter if you don't see it. What matters is that God says it. And if God says it, he'll be faithful to provide the relationships and the resources and the strength to make it happen. As I've told you, 25 years old, gave my life to Christ, and immediately a pastor named Obed Martinez became such an intricate part of my story. Every time I preach, I talk about him because he's so important to my life. I honor him, love him, would not be where I am without him. And I remember about a week after I gave my life to Christ, we're at a coffee shop here in town. And I remember like it was yesterday, he said, hey, I've really been praying for you and your wife. And I think you guys need to move to California and come help build. And I said, okay, let me pray about it. I prayed about it. My wife prayed about it. We talked to some pastors and we flew out for 2 weeks and checked it out and came back. And I called him. I said, hey, I think I really want to do this. He said, okay, well, here's the kicker. I can't pay you or your wife. That's fun. Come on. But I really think you need to come. My wife and I moved to California weeks after that call, and she got a job as a bank teller, and I got a job just doing odd work. I was detailing cars. We were both just doing whatever we could just to make money. But we were pouring every spare minute we had into building the local church. I mean, I was preaching the junior high ministry, the high school ministry, the young adult ministry. My wife was doing nursery, doing kids. We were literally putting in 50 hours a week at the church. About 2 months into us being there, into this process, we went broke. It all came to head on a Monday night. I went to Albertsons to get a jar of peanut butter. I remember going and checking out, and I give the lady my card. She swipes it, goes beep, beep. That's like the worst sound ever all the time. She said, your card got declined. I was like, hey, can you try it again quietly? Beep, beep. I said, thank you. I went back to the car, opened up my phone, and a phone bill had came out. And we were $160 negative in our checking with $0 in our savings. And I remember being so frustrated. I began to vent to my wife. This is ridiculous. We moved our family here. We should be getting paid by now. We're doing our part. This doesn't make sense. I'm upset. This is on him. Pastor should be taking care of us. He should be. I was frustrated. I was just venting. And about 5 minutes into me venting, I pick up the phone and I call my dad just because I was upset. He answered. He said, what's going on? I said, we're not getting paid. I'm negative in my account. We're out here. We moved out here. This is ridiculous. We're doing our part. He should be doing it. He said, Joseph, just stop talking. He said, I'm going to ask you a question. Did you move to California because God called you to move to California? Or did you move to California because Pastor Obed called you to California? I said, God did. He said, I'm going to tell you something that I don't want you to ever forget. Don't ever forget that you're there serving God and helping Pastor. You're not serving pastor and helping God. The moment you start serving man is the moment that man becomes the source of your provision. The moment you start serving man is the moment that man becomes the source of your peace. I want you to hang up the phone call, repent to your wife for not leading her well, and quote Philippians 4:19. Click. And that conversation went exactly like that. Baby, I'm sorry. I'm not leading us well. That's on me. God has called us here. I know if God's called us, he's going to take care of us. Okay, what's Philippians 4:19? And my God will supply, say this with me, every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Not some needs, not the needs that we think are significant, like just to make it. My God will supply every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We wake up the next morning, I grab her hand and start declaring that scripture. God, I know that you called us here, and if you called us, you're going to provide. God, I know this is you. This is not like an impulse move. This is not like a hype thing. Like you called us here divinely. This was your hand. You're going to take care of us. First day, nothing happens. Second day, wake up. God, you will supply every need according to, God, I know that you were the God. Nothing wrong with you. God, I know you have us. Nothing. Okay, now like four other bills have come out. I'm negative like $1,500 in my account. I'm bankrupt at 26 years old. Okay. Third day, I get a call from a 337 number. I said, hello. He said, hey, I hate to make this call. Like, I really hate to make this call. I debated on even picking up the phone. But I have a son that lives in LA. It's 2 hours from you. He's not doing good at all. What do you think about, and just say no if you feel free to say no, just I feel so bad even asking, what do you think about going and pick him up and like maybe he could live with you and your wife and in return I'll pay all of your bills? I said, send the address. I said, send the address. I drove 2 hours and 45 minutes. Like, it just happened like that. Okay? Why do I tell you that story? Because if you will be faithful to step out of the boat and be radically obedient to the voice of God, he will supply every need. So this morning, if you're taking notes, I want to give you two challenges in change. These are two difficulties you will always face when you're ready to get out of the boat. These are two things you're always going to deal with whenever you're ready to radically be obedient. If you can't see it, if the money's not there, if it doesn't make sense, these are two things you're going to have to do. The first one is you got to let go. Come on, say let go. In the story we're reading, Jesus calls out to these fishermen and he says, leave your father and put down your nets. Leave your father, put down your nets. What was Jesus telling these fishermen? I believe what Jesus was telling this fisherman is, until you let go of what is in your hands, I can never give you what is in mine. And this morning, I just have a simple question for you. Very practical here in a moment. What do you need to let go of? I think for some people here, if you can be honest and vulnerable enough for a moment, it's unforgiveness. Now, as a pastor, I almost live in a counseling room, and whether it's teenagers, married couples, all seasons of life, and it always seems like in every counseling session, I hear the same thing. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know the father that left. You don't know the brokenness in my past relationship. You don't know the abuse I suffered. You have no clue. You're asking me to forgive. You don't have a clue. And you know what? My answer is always the same. I don't. I have no clue. But I do know this. Every time I feel justified holding on to unforgiveness, it's always a sign that I've forgotten how much I've been forgiven. That's why Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave. Say with me. God forgave. God forgave you. Oh, I pray I never get to a place to where I feel justified holding on to something that I desperately need every day from Jesus. I know what you're thinking. You're asking me to forgive like it's just that easy. Like, what if I forgive and they do it again, right? What if I forgive that person and they hurt me again? For you, newsflash, you're going to get hurt in every relationship you will ever have. You just get to choose which relationships are worth hurting for. You never want to get hurt ever by anyone. Okay, don't get married. Come on, married people, amen. Okay. I mean, you got to clap for it, but like, okay. I'm just joking. You don't ever want to get hurt by anyone. Okay, then don't have kids. Just go in your backyard, build a fence with just you, and just don't talk to yourself because then you might hurt you. I love what C.S. Lewis says about this. He says, getting over a painful experience is much like crossing monkey bars. You have to let go at some point in order to move forward. Yeah, there's sometimes we think like me holding on, yeah, that's how I have power. No, you don't have power. You're powerless when you hold on. Let me talk to somebody here this morning. How far you're able to go is based on what you're willing to leave behind. Wow. And people are just holding on to unforgiveness, holding on to hurt. You got to let it go. Maybe for you, it's not unforgiveness. Maybe for many people here, this one was a gut punch for me, something I struggle with, unhealthy thoughts. Yeah. Unhealthy thoughts. You know what an unhealthy thought is? Unhealthy thoughts are called strongholds. Strongholds. Now, the visual that I got with this is I'm one of five brothers. My older brother's Christian. He's a maniac. My jaw clicks when I talk because he broke my jaw when I was 21. My nose is crooked because he broke it when I was 9. So, like, it just, but he's a pastor now, so it's all good. We're both pastors, so. Yeah. I'm good. Like, our relationship is restored. It was just. But just the visual I had, strong holds. Like, he used to like hold me down and put me in like a headlock, and like I physically couldn't move. Like, that's how some of you are paralyzed with thoughts that are unhealthy, that aren't true, and you wake up every day and it's like you're held captive by the fact that you're not good enough, you'll never be pretty enough, you'll never achieve enough. Even though you've already achieved what you told yourself you would never do, it's still not enough. Strongholds. What is a stronghold? It's very simple. It's very elementary here this morning. A stronghold is any thought that goes higher than God's word. Anything that goes higher than this book is a stronghold. That's why we have to renew our minds with the knowledge of God to fight strongholds. I can't pull out my phone and like watch an encouraging TED talk and that go higher than a crazy thought. I can't like watch enough feel-good podcasts to defeat strongholds. No, you only defeat strongholds with the power of God and the power of his truth. And I want to say something and hear my heart, and I've tried to be sensitive about saying this. Well, I'm just going to say it how I've been saying it. I'm not against counselors. I'm not against therapists. I think they're needed and necessary. But if you are trying to break strongholds without the power of Jesus, all you'll ever do is behavior modification. When with the gospel, we have radical life change and transformation. First thing you got to do if you really want to be bold and answering the call and being obedient to the voice of God is you gotta let go. Come on, say let go. Second thing you got to do is you have to step out. Come on, say step out. As I close these next few minutes, see, letting go is only half the battle. Because letting go of what's in your hands, that's step one, but then you actually got to trust what's in God's. And as I read this story, there's two things happening. The first thing that's happening is you have Jesus calling these fishermen. And it's such a simple call, right? Follow me. It's so simple. But it cost everything. Changes everything. It's Jesus calling. And then here's part two. Then you have these disciples, these ordinary, regular fishermen sitting in a boat being called to step out in faith. A life-changing journey of being a Jesus follower. You know, you never know what's on the other side of your obedience. This week, I was just praying about, like, what's like a great illustration just to show what it means to be bold and step out in faith. And I was reminded of an old preacher illustration I love so much about a tightrope walker named Charles Blondin. Charles Blondin was a tightrope walker in the late 1800s. And he was known for doing like all kind of crazy feats. He would stretch a rope across like two really tall towers, and he would walk across, and thousands of people would come out to watch Charles Blondin do these crazy things. But the thing that really put him on the map, the thing that he was really known for, is when he stretched a rope across the Niagara Falls. Now, he connected one to the Canadian side, one to the U.S. side, and he would walk across this tightrope and do crazy things. Like one time he walked in the middle of it and like made breakfast, and like one time he walked out and like was playing a guitar, and all the time he's doing this, just thousands of people would come out to watch Charles Blondin do these things. And then one day, Charles decided that he was going to walk a wheelbarrow across the Niagara Falls. First day, he walks out there clear across on this tightrope. He gets to the other side, thousands of people are screaming, "Let's go, you're amazing." He makes it back, he goes back to the other side. He's just walking across this tightrope with the wheelbarrow, and every day he clears the chasm and gets to another side, there's just more people screaming and cheering him on. And Charles Blondin, being the showman that he was, one day made it clear across the chasm, and when he got there, there's thousands of people, and he hopped off the tightrope and he said, "Come on, who thinks I can make it back to the other side?" And thousands of people begin to chant, "We believe, we believe, we believe," thousands of people. He gets fired up, he pounds his chest, "Come on, who really thinks I can make it to the other side? We believe." Then he asks a simple question. "Who's willing to get in the wheelbarrow with me and come back to the other side?" My kids, I got the daycare, like I don't have time for that right now. It's you, like, I believe from a distance, you know. Like, I want you to get this in your spirit this morning. It's one thing to stand on the side and say you believe. It's another thing to get in the wheelbarrow and trust that God is who he says he is. It's time to step out of the boat this morning. I don't know what boat you find yourself in. Maybe you've been in the boat of casual Christianity and it's just been like a Sunday thing, but you've been like feeling convicted when you go to work and you keep seeing someone in God's and putting it on your heart to share Jesus, but it's 2024, so you don't want to offend someone, you don't know what they believe. Can I tell you, it's time to step out of the boat? There's some people here and you're business owners and God's been putting something inside you to do something new, but it's costly and like, I don't know if I can do it. If God said it, he'll be faithful to provide every step of the way. It's time to get out of the boat. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what God's speaking to you, but I do know this. Every person that God ever used significantly had to step out. David had to leave the comfort of an army to go by himself in a valley to defeat Goliath. He had to step out. Moses was the prince of Egypt. Left it all behind to be obedient to the call of God on his life. I want to tell you this morning, it's time to step out. With every head bowed and every eyes closed, I believe there's two groups of people in the room. I think the first group is saying, "Pastor, when you're talking about like casual Christianity, when you're talking about like not being bold, that's me." Every day I see people and I feel like this urge to share my faith, share my testimony. But to be honest, I've been timid, I've been afraid. Maybe that's not you. Maybe you are the business owner and God's placed something inside you to be a beacon of light in the marketplace and he's called you to step out and be bold, but you've just been timid and like, I don't know if the money's gonna, I don't know how it's gonna work. It's time to step out this morning. It's time to be bold for Jesus. It's time to be a beacon of light in a broken, dark, hurting world. If that's you and you're saying, Pastor, I need to step out. On the count of three, it's just you and me looking. My goal is never to embarrass you here. But on the count of three, I just ask that you raise your hand so I can pray with you. One, this is your moment. Two, the time is now. Three, if that's you and you're saying, I need to be bold. I got to step out. I got to make some faith moves. Come on, shoot your hand up high. I want to see him. I want to see him. Okay. Okay, you can put your hands down. Father, I thank you that right now there's an impartation of boldness that doesn't come from us depending on ourselves. It comes from us depending on you. I pray for business owners. I pray for entrepreneurs. I pray for people that are even looking to step out, maybe to pursue a career or get a degree. I pray that you open up heaven on them, that you give them such a platform that when they stand on it, they would say the only explanation for this is Jesus and Jesus alone. I thank you that you are who you say you are. And the God that raises dead things back to life, the God that provided manna in the wilderness is still doing it today. I pray for divine favor. I pray for divine relationships and resources. I pray that you do what you say you're going to do. Come and do it again. And the second group of people here, every head bowed, every eyes closed, you're saying, Pastor, I hear you talking about Jesus, but I don't have a relationship with him. I've done the religion thing of check the box to check a box, but I'm empty. Very empty. If a personal relationship with Jesus is what changes everything, I need that. I cannot leave the way I walked in here. I won't do it. If being a Jesus follower, if being born again, if making the decision to follow him is what changes everything, I have to have it. That's you on the count of three. I want to give you the greatest invitation you'll ever receive, and that's to have a personal relationship with Jesus. One, he's been waiting on you. Two, the time is now. Three, if that's you in a personal relationship with Jesus, raise your hands so I can see him. Come on, raise them high. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. 22, 23, 24, 25, 26. You can bow your heads. Church family, can you pray this prayer together with those that just made that decision? Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. I believe you faced hell for me so I would not have to go. You gave me a purpose here. And today, I turn from my sin to be born again. From this day forward, God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is now my home. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Can we put our hands together for those who prayed the prayer to be born again? Amen. So proud of you. If you will, just give me one more minute before we dismiss. If you prayed the prayer to be born again, your next step is water baptism. So be sure before you leave, no rush, be sure before you leave, you indicate on that connection card that you gave your life to Christ so we can follow up with you on those next steps. You can leave it in the pew. One of our ushers will get that from you before you leave today. If you will, go ahead and stand to your feet. Let me bless you. How many of you enjoyed that word from Pastor Joseph this morning? Wasn't it great? So good. If you will, open up your hands. Let me bless you. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may he make his face shine upon you and give you peace. And may he bless you in your going out and coming in. And all that you set your hands to for his kingdom, may he prosper it and may he bless it. Now, I bless you in the name of the Father, his Son, Jesus, and the all-abiding Holy Spirit. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. God bless you. Don't forget our prayer team's down front. We'll see you next Sunday. Have a great week.